At least 58 people now dead, more than 500 people wounded.
17 fires burning right now in the state, 5,700 structures destroyed, at least 35 people dead.
I mean, this was a massive church just outside of San Juan with a congregation of 3,000 people. Maria just shredded this building.
ISIS released a new video today showing the execution of 21 Coptic Christians kidnapped in Libya.
Two suicide bombings killed more than 40 people on one of the holiest days on the Christian calendar.
North Korea fires yet another missile, but Pyongyang claims this one will be able to hit the U.S. mainland, striking cities like Los Angeles, Denver, even New York and Boston.
They will be met with fire and fury like the world has never seen.
The world seems so unstable, so insecure. Everything is changing way too fast. But there are some things that are steadfast, things that never change: God and His Word. Randy Reams is pastor of Kindred Bible Church in Nampa, Idaho. Join Pastor Randy now as he shares truths from God's unchanging Word.
See, David should have came to God, cried out to God to begin with. Now, I understand him running to the man of God, to Samuel, who anointed him, knew what God had called him to be, believed in him. I understand that. We all sort of want to do that. That's why we all run to mom when we're hurt, because mom believes in you, and she just makes you feel better. So I understand this idea of running to someone that makes you feel better and believes in you. Okay, but he should have ran to God to start with. But like David, many of us have to be forced into a cave first. I hate this statement. Well, at least we can pray. The least you can do is cry out to God. Yeah, no, my prayer people got frustrated with that one. No, you go to God first. You cry out to Him first. David had to realize, yeah, Samuel's there. Yes, your good friend Jonathan's there. But that ain't where you run first. You cry out to God first. What's interesting is we read in Psalm 147, he talks about those he can't count on. And when he does get people around him, what kind of people are they? People in the same kind of mess. Okay, they are people who need counseling, not give counsel. That's the kind of people he draws. What do those 400 men become, by the way? Yeah, David's mighty men. So they learn something along the process too, but we'll get to that another time, okay? But the other thing they had to learn was David had to acknowledge his need for the mercy of God. Again, we draw in 57:1. Be merciful to me, O God, be merciful. We said it twice, didn't he? In that same psalm, in Psalm 142, what he wrote in this time, I plead for mercy, O Lord. What's mercy? Do not give me what? What I deserve. Why is this happening to me, to Jonathan? Now just don't give me what I deserve, God. He's not asking why, because he's contemplated where he's been, what he's done, and it should be worse. He acknowledges his need for the mercy of God. What's interesting, out of the 150 Psalms, by the way, David wrote 76 of them. He wrote 76 Psalms, but he speaks of God's mercy 80 times. It's a theme in David's Psalm. Even though he was there when Samuel comes along and dumps oil, oh, you're God's man. You're the next king. That means nothing. I recognize, even though God's appointed me king, I must have his mercy so I don't get his wrath. I know God's wrath is not something you talk about in church anymore, but we do here. All of us, I don't care who you are, need God's mercy, because all of us are sinners, particularly in our flesh. Jesus tells us that is the heart of man, that is the source of wickedness, adultery, gives this whole list of things that Jesus himself says, the source of the sin is not Satan, your heart is. Okay? It's the heart of man. So we shouldn't be surprised when the unregenerated act like sinners. You really shouldn't get upset. It should be what you expect. James affirms this deficiency in man. It's called in in good Reformed theology, total depravity, total, complete. There isn't a part of you or part of mankind that wasn't totally and completely affected by the fall of Adam. Okay? But James affirms that the place, the birthplace of sin, is our own desires. You can't tip, and I'm not judging you if you do, please don't die. You can't tempt me with beer because I don't like it. I don't desire it, so you can't tempt me with it. A new Mustang or an old Mustang, that you can tempt me with. I'm serious. You can tempt me with that. One of those fresh mangoes Tim and I get in Southeast Asia. You can tempt me with that because I desire that. It's something that I would desire. Recognize this, that it is our desires that and I don't know David's desire here based on this, what we see here. His desire was to be safe. Anybody have that desire? To feel safe? To feel secure? Do you ever have the desire to know why? Why do we want to know why? We feel more secure when we know why. Maybe we can control, maybe I can change it. If I knew why you were mad at me, then maybe I could fix that. Kind of thing. If I knew why Saul wanted to kill me, Jonathan, maybe I could fix that. So, is there something wrong with wanting to feel secure and safe? Is there something wrong with wanting to, excuse me, I really don't like spears thrown at me. I don't like people threatening me to take my life. There's nothing wrong with that. But realize whatever those strong desires are in you, that Satan can use, but there are your desires. This is why David also says that God will give you the desires of your heart. What does that mean? He'll give you what you want? No, he'll change what you want. And we'll touch on that in just a second here, okay? Jesus quoted Jeremiah 17 and 9. Jesus himself did. So that puts it in the New Testament, right? The heart is deceitful above all things. The heart, that inner place where all your feelings and thoughts, okay? Listen to this. And beyond cure. Who can understand it? Come on, when you see extreme wickedness, extreme evil, you go, how can that? When it really, the heart, the evilness of a human heart really shows up, we all sort of dumbstruck that how could a person do such a thing? But Jesus himself said it's not curable. You know what that means? It's not curable. This is why in Ezekiel, twice, it says that God will take your heart of and replace it with a heart of flesh. He doesn't say, I'll cure your heart. I'll give you a new one. I will give you the desires of, from your heart. See, he doesn't come along and cure my sinful disease. He makes me a new creature in Christ. Okay? Now, does he transform my body immediately? No. My body will be saved. And that's where I struggle. That's why I like to eat a mango or my wife's homemade German chocolate. Let me tease you a little bit for lunch. You know what I'm saying? Or ribeye. Because my body still longs for that. Did you know, though, when Jesus is here, his body did too? I hunger. I thirst. I'm tired. His body longed for things too. Truly human. Truly God. But that body sometimes said, I got to sleep. So I want to understand, I want you to understand that. Now, he never sinned in his desires. His desires weren't sinful, okay? And neither is being tired or hungry, that kind of thing, all right? David learned this, and this is, to me, reflects also his understanding of his need for God's mercy. He recognizes his choices now endanger those he loves. Husbands, listen to me. If you won't listen to God, if you won't respond to God's call to righteous, moral, godly living for your sake, I want you to look at your children's faces. Realize your sin will cost them. Now, eternally, the sons don't pay for the sins of the fathers. Naturally, you bet they will. You drunk drive with kids in your car. There has been men that have had their kids killed in the car because they were drunk. Does that mean that child spends eternity in the wrong place? No, 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 no. Don't confuse the two. Who rejected getting on the ark? Dads and moms. Who drowned? Dads, moms, and children. Ooh. David recognizes, I need God's mercy. I recognize that my sin doesn't just affect, I'm not the only one in a cave now. My family's in a cave now. And therefore, he takes his family to a safe place. Now, we all can't, you can't always do that. And in your stupid decisions, you file bankruptcy. That affects the kids. You can't ship them off. I'm going to be honest, in Cambodia they do. That's how the orphanage is full in Cambodia. Parents can't afford to raise their kids, and they take them to the orphanage. All right? So it can affect. He recognized that. Not only did it affect his relationship with his God, it affected his family. And he cries out for God's mercy. God, don't do to me what I deserve. And sure don't do it to my family. So when I ask God, I do. This is the truth. Okay, God, if you want to show me that, teach me that, but don't harm my family in the process. Let it be all on me. I don't know if he honors that sometimes because my wife and I are one, but you know, when God had to wake me up, break my back, my wife had to go through a lot with me too. Number three, David learned that God is the only true refuge in times of trouble. So 57:2, for in you my soul takes refuge. What is your soul? Your mind, will, and emotions. Your body, soul, and spirit, if you're a trichotomist anyway. In the shadow of your wings I will take refuge till the storm of destruction passes by. 142:4-5. Look to the right and see, there is none who takes notice of me. No refuge remains to me. No one cares for my soul. Let me put it this way. God, I ain't got no other place to go. You're it. I cry to you, O Lord. I say, you are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. He is not talking about the hereafter. He's talking about in the middle of his mess. I don't know if you've ever been there before. Maybe you haven't. I've been there before where there's nobody else to turn to. It's just you. I don't mean to defame anybody, but you know, almost everybody gets saved in prison. Because you ain't got nobody. But when you get out of the cave, in your time of distress when you get out, and I'm saying this particular for those of the radio who listen, we get a lot of those from prison. God is your only refuge when you get out. Some people in the audience says amen. See, God will take you to the point sometime in your Christian walk, and I may be even in your pre-Christian walk, to a point where you have no refuge, you have no peace. That's part of refuge, that safety, that security, that peace, that thing. It feels reliable, faithful, and you could rest there. God will take you to a place that you will have to rely on him. Jeremiah 17:7-8 says this, but blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. Man, that's mankind in the general sense. Whose confidence is in him. Listen to what a person who puts their trust in God. Listen to how they're described. He will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out the tree that sends out roots by the stream. Does not fear when the heat comes. Does it say the heat won't come? No. Won't fear when the heat comes. For its leaves are always green. And is anxious. Excuse me. Always green. And is not anxious in the year of drought. For it does not cease to bear fruit. That's the person who trusts in God. How do we do that, by the way? And Jesus says, when the storm comes, there's two types of people. One who builds their house upon the, and one who builds a house upon the, right? The wise man built his house upon the rock. Anybody remember that besides me? Jesus says, wait a minute. How do you put your trust in God? Those who hear my word and do it. Many of us hear. It's that doing that's a little bit of the hard part. So he learned that God was his refuge in times of trouble. And the reason I don't have the scripture out there, because I think that one, came to acknowledge that God has a purpose for his life. I think he discovered this on the way as he crossed the Valley of Elah. But he says it in two ways. He says that, God, you know my way. That's 142:3. And when it says he cries out to God who fulfills his purpose in me. Do you know what that's an acknowledge of? You have a purpose in this, God. You have a plan for me. And even if I'm in a cave, it's still your plan. We talked about it last time with Psalms 52 and so on that we talked about last time. He acknowledges, wait a minute, even if I'm here, whether I'm alone or with my family here or with 400 guys or by myself, God, you're in this. You have a purpose you will fulfill. All right? And I've said this before. It's sort of recognizing the need for the journey. And if we use the people of Israel when they came out of captivity, they needed the journey to be what God called them to be. But they complained about the journey the whole time, remember? And God took care of a few of them. I say take care of them in the mafia sense. He killed some of them. You got to recognize that you're there on the journey to learn something. You're there on the journey. Well, I won't get there yet. I'll get ahead. Number 5, David learned to give praise to God in the midst of the cave. Okay, now I don't put them all up there because they're all long, but we got some of them up there. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth and in caves. Okay, that's verse 5. Verse 7 tells us, I will sing and make melody. Where is he at when he says that? In the cave. Not when I get to gather together with everybody on church on Sunday. Remember, he can't go to the tabernacle. He's singing in a cave. It reminds me of two other fellows in the New Testament. Who would they be? Paul and Silas. Yeah, in the cave of their own, that deep prison. And if you want to know what that's like, go see the movie Apostle Paul. It's great. All right? 9-11. I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the peoples. I will sing praises to you among the nations. For your steadfast love is great to the heavens, and your faithfulness to the clouds. That's in other words, even in a cave. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. Now, does God need his permission to let his glory be over all the earth? No, it's an acknowledgement. It's being able to praise God. Is Saul still after him? Yes. He is now praising God while someone is still trying to kill him. He's praising God while he had to send his family out of the country so nothing happens to them. And he still can praise God. You'd see this theme throughout of all of David's Psalms.
My enemies surround me. It's hard. It's difficult.
Wait a minute. And then he starts giving praise to God. He didn't start that way. He starts running. That's how he starts, because he doesn't cry out to God. But he came to this understanding. He can praise God in the cave. Now, those of you that might be a little bit claustrophobic, I want you about thinking about a cave. Those of you who don't like bugs, creepy, crawly critters, molds, fungi, all the thing in wet caves, and they do have some of those caves there with stalactites and stalagmites, so I'm not exaggerating there. But we'll read 142:7. Here's what he says. Bring me out of prison. How did David sense the cave? As a prison. Who put him there? God. He says, I recognize you have a plan. You know all my steps, and I happen to be in prison. Bring me out of prison. Why? That I may give thanks in your name. But he's already doing that. If you won't praise him in prison, you won't praise him when things are good. Because you'll be too busy enjoying the good things. I get concerned when I begin to see someone in the body of Christ and God really begins to bless them financially with things and stuff. I get concerned. Even Jesus says, when you have that wealth, how do you like fitting through the eye of a needle? If you all know that verse. I will give thanks in your name. The righteous will surround me, for you will deal bountifully with me. Who's surrounding him right now? The righteous? The disgruntled, the in debt, the discontent. But I know when you get me through this, you have something more for me. When David acknowledges all these things, now these first 5 verses is short. We find out later there's more that happens in these cave period of time. But this tells us something particular, and it says this in verse 22. God comes in and says, you can get out now. Didn't you read it? Then the prophet Gad said to David, don't remain in the cave. Depart. Go to the land of Judah. So David departed and went into the forest of Herith. I like forests much better than caves. When David learns these lessons, how do we know he learns it? Because he writes these things in a cave and it tells us that he'd order them in a cave, in the cave. When these things are done being written, when David understands these things, he gets to leave the cave and go to the forest. Now I think I got the next one. Yeah. So when you're in a cave, you can cry out to the Lord, or you can cry out at the Lord. Give me an example of crying at the Lord. Ready? Why are you doing this to me? God, what's happening? This ain't fair. I was listening to a call-in radio show this week, and this lady called into this radio show, and the guy said this 8 times during a phone call with this lady, God's fair. That's the opposite of crying out for mercy. If God's fair, you and I are in trouble. He is just, but don't cry at the Lord. Cry to the Lord. Acknowledge your need for mercy. Don't blame others. Examine yourself. Notice he doesn't mention Saul in these Psalms anywhere in that sense. It's their fault. Acknowledge the choices that brought you to where you are. That is hard. When I do counseling, this is the hardest part. And y'all know Elmer Fudd shows up. Yeah, but she's leaving me. Well, XYZ, let's talk about these things. Well, yeah, but see, she, but it's funny, God brought you here to me, not them. So who should I be giving biblical advice to? You. That seems to make sense to me, but maybe I'm just stiff-necked, all right? But you've got to recognize your part that got you into the cave to begin with. And where your choices brought you, okay? You've got to acknowledge that God is your only refuge. Well, but you see, if I do this, and if I do that, and if I do this, then no, no. You cry out to God and say, God, you do what you have to do in me, even if I got to stay here. Because that's the only way you're really getting out. How many people have you noticed, you have ever been near, that keeps going back to the cave? Yeah, that same cave. Looks the same, sounds the same. Maybe change the name, change the location. But again, I'm going to talk to those that are incarcerated. Odds are you go incarcerated again because you keep going back to the same cave. You haven't learned your lesson. So you got to acknowledge this. You don't have the answer. You aren't the answer. God is the answer. Boy, I'm telling you, I got out of a cave. I got out of a cave when I grew up thinking that my salvation, my refuge, was secure in how I behaved. That was a miserable cave. I just jumped from cave to cave to cave. When I recognized even my salvation, that's God. He is my refuge, my shelter, my strong tower. I'm not. God did it. God keeps it. He's the security. I'll have to keep moving. And then you got to recognize this, that God has a plan for your life. Oh, I recognize. Good. Submit to it. That's the hard part. When you have to recognize, wait a minute. Caves are part of the process? Forests are part of it. All these misfits that you're sending me is part of the process? Saul throwing spears at me is part of the process? Yeah, it is. See, I can acknowledge all the day that God has a plan for my life. But if I don't submit to that plan and recognize he's in control of them, all I do along the way is I fight it and I don't see God in it. Therefore, I don't give him the glory now. See, I see God plan for my life and I'll praise him there. But if you don't recognize and submit to that plan now, you're not going to praise him now. You're not going to praise him when the doctor says you won't be able to see. You won't praise him when the doc says you can't do this or you're going to do that and this is going to happen to you. You recognize, wait a minute, God, if this has happened to me, all things work to the of those who are called according to his purpose. Okay? If you don't understand that purpose, that calling, you won't see that. You'll like David. This is a bad thing. Why is this happening to me? When you realize God has a plan, that he's your refuge, you start giving him the praise, then you recognize this. Oh, this is good for me. This is good for me. It's easy to say sitting here,
But I'm going to put you in Biana's seat right now. Could you acknowledge that then? It is easy here. But I think most of us have got a little gray hair, have at some point when the doctor said, or when you get a phone call in the middle of the night and it's a police officer, and we're sorry to tell you this, but I don't understand, God, why... Uh-oh. God, I choose that it is for your great name, not for my comfort, that you have called me to this thing. You have this purpose in my life so that your name will be glorified. So I will glorify your name now. Read Psalms 22. Let's stand. God, today as we come before you, the first thing we do is we acknowledge your sovereignty. We acknowledge your plan for us. God, we also recognize our need for your mercy. I know I need it. God, help us to learn the lessons through the times you take us, whether it's through the valley of Elah or whether it's in a cave or in the forest, that we will listen and heed. That we would open our hearts and our minds to those lessons, Father, because we don't want to go do this again. But God, no matter where your plan takes us, we will give glory to your name. We will surrender to your mighty hand, declare your great works, and speak of your great nature, because that is what is truly unchanging, is our steadfast refuge and stronghold, O Lord our God. To the glory be your name. Amen.
This is Pastor Randy Reams of Kindred Bible Church in Nampa, Idaho. I want to thank you for joining us today for Truths from God's Unchanging Word. This broadcast is an outreach ministry of Kindred Bible Church. I'd like to invite you also to visit our website, kindredbible.org. There you can listen to today's broadcast as well as previous broadcasts. If you're being ministered to by the broadcast, I'd like to encourage you to let us know. You can email us at info@kindredbible.org, or you can write to us at Kindred Bible Church, P.O. Box 32, Nampa, Idaho 83653. And I'd like you also to check us out on Facebook. Look at us over there and give us a like. So again, I want to thank you for listening to Truths from God's Unchanging Word.